Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Your assignment. The self-hating message is that as we are, we're not enough. Enough for what? What does that mean? If you were enough, then what? RL, what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Uh-oh, hang on. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. Hello, it's Sherry in San Francisco.
Good morning, Sherry. What are you seeing?
Good morning. Well, you know, I'm seeing this big bamboozle that I'm very fortunate. I have lots of play. I have lots of joy in my life. And what I'm seeing this week that conditioning does is its thing is to try to convince me that I'm not worthy of that.
Well, that's a good one, isn't it? So at first we don't have it, right? And that's the problem. And then when we have it, we're not worthy. We shouldn't. We don't deserve it.
Exactly.
Always a good problem to take that joy away, right? Yeah.
What was great that I've actually never seen before when I was doing some recording this week is that I saw what a huge projection that is from ego.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to see when I was really looking at, you know, well, what's true about all this? And what I saw is that the joy comes from being not separate. The play comes when I'm not separate.
Mm-hmm.
And so conditioning, I think, is just projecting, you know, because it's separate, it kind of isn't worthy.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
Ego isn't worthy. That is such a very good point. It's always projecting, isn't it? From its experience. Yes. Not ours.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I got to see, too, you know, what I love the phrase that has been in this practice for so long that, oh, my gosh, I love it so much I can't forget it. I beg you. Generosity loves to give. That's not it.
Uh-huh.
What is it?
Gratitude loves to give.
So when I'm not separate, when I'm playing and having fun and enjoying life, that I am more generous.
Yes.
And everybody's worthy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And often, especially when people are very new to practice, it's like, why are you so hard on the ego? I mean, doesn't self-hate need love too? And the important thing for us to remember is that it's an illusion, right? Ego is an illusion. It's maintained through a story, right? So if I say, poor me, all of these terrible, terrible things are happening in my life, right? The dishwasher leaks and I need to get new tires and my phone isn't okay. So I could go through this whole list of tragedies in my life, right? Which ego is happy to supply. But
right.
Are they tragedies? Is that a problem? Is there anything wrong? No, it's a story, right? And that's what ego is. It's a story. So it projects from that story, your life is awful. I mean, there's all this stuff wrong. There's all this stuff you have to do. It's so hard. But it's not true. It's a projection. Yeah?
Yeah. Yep. And just like you were saying a little bit ago, and then if we happen to be fortunate enough to be in a place where we're feeling joyful and happy, then it wants to come in with, well, you're so selfish. Look at all the people who aren't happy. You shouldn't be happy. You shouldn't feel joyful.
That's right, because that'll help them be happier. And the thing that makes the all of these such perfect bamboozles is that when we're with ego in conditioned mind, that makes sense. That seems like the right person thing to do. And then, as you say, do a little recording and listening. Get a little distance on this and realize, well, that's absurd. I don't want to live in an imaginary world. I want to live in this world where joy is.
Well, yeah, because, you know, and I feel like I just need to say this again for myself because I keep getting, it keeps getting slippery, but it's that when I'm in that place with colluding with ego, it's dark and scarce, and I don't want to give anything to anybody, right? Because there's just not enough. But when I'm in presence
you
and
would,
life.
Right? You would if there were enough, but there isn't.
Right.
Right. Yeah, which again is a really believable bamboozle inside the head. Mm-hmm. But when you're in the light, when you're here, when you're present, what happens?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I'm always good. I'm very happy for you.
I'm very happy to be here and grateful for this show, you know, and I know we say this all the time, but so what, you know, it has made such a difference to have this be the foundation for the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It is so amazing.
Yeah.
So
every day, we come back to the same place, the same thing, every day. Harder and harder to ignore it. It's harder and harder to believe ego stories in the face of all this evidence to the contrary. It's a very good thing. Yeah. Thank you, Sherry.
Deepka Show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sherry. I love that clarification, Sherry, about what is the illusion, right? The illusion is the sense of separation. The illusion is there's something wrong. The illusion mm-hmm. is that the story is real.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's just all made up. Just all fiction.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that
developing the awareness to see through it and get here for what is so is the movement that is the essence of our practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Dropping that story and getting here. That's
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next
Goodness
caller.
Gracious.
Oh, I was muted. Oh, this is Sandy.
Oh, good job. Is this who?
This is Sandy in Berkeley.
Hey, Sandy.
Hey, I mean, what my experience has been this month is that play is always available regardless of, like, apparent mood or what's going on. Like, when I first read the assignment, I did that first day of recording, like, as I was walking outside, and then I recorded it, I played it back. And then I just felt like I wanted to do a cartwheel, so I did. And, like, it was fun. And I don't know how to describe it. It's like ego wants to say that fun is, like, you plan for fun. Fun is like a, you know, a weekend road trip. It costs money. It's a whole thing. And it's like, but play is available. Or, like, when I've been, mm-hmm. you know, like, anxious about work or something, like, this month, like, there's this ridiculous song popped into my head that was popular when I was a kid, and I'd even, like, played it on YouTube, or it'll go through my head, and it's like, I can do a goofy dance to this goofy song, like, at any time. Like, yes. Or what will go through my head, too, is, like, you know, we always say go happy, and this voice in my head will be like, buy a cone happy. Like, go with God in Spanish, but go with happy. I don't know why. It's just so, it's just goofy. It just arises, and it's, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. It's kind of like being a kid again, isn't it?
It really is.
And yet, it comes with all of everything that we want out of being a grown-up. You're not irresponsible. You're not self-centered. You're not all of those things that ego would accuse you of being if you're having fun and enjoying life. You're actually, as Sherry was pointing out, you're actually more outgoing, you're more friendly, you're more present, you're more generous, you're more kind, because you're happy. It's a tremendous gift.
Yeah. Yeah, it's helpful.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. We can enjoy that regardless of anything, right? So we get bamboozled, we get caught in some story about something, we're not happy, we don't feel good. As you say, just play that song and get up and dance. By the end of that song, that mood will have passed. Now, will the voices try to pull you back into it? Absolutely. But you're distant, right? You've seen it. You know what's going on. You're not going to fall for it in the same way. And you might have to dance again.
Right. And even if the dance isn't like a magic pill, it's like, there can be, like, play and, like, I mean, it kind of, there is a magic pill aspect to it, but it's also,
yes,
like, even with the depression, like, if I have a, if I'm experiencing depression and I have play along with it, even if depression doesn't 100% go away, it's like depression in no way blocked the play.
That's exactly right, Sandy. And it's critical what you just said. It is critical. So one of our sayings is the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention. That is an absolutely true statement 100% of the time. So what happens in something like depression is, okay, you, with what you're describing, you turn your attention to dancing, and you're up there and you're dancing around and you're waving your arms around and being completely goofy and enjoying yourself, and your body is having a wonderful time. And then the song ends and the dance stops, and where does attention go? Am I still depressed? And the answer is
right.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? But that's a process. That is not reality. Right? That is how ego takes the attention, turns it back to where it, the experience, the quality of life it wants to further, which is you being depressed, right? So when we really get that as the way that you have gotten that, then you know what kind of life do I want, okay? All right, well, then that's where I need to put my attention. Whatever that is, I need to put my attention there because that's what I'm going to get. And no checking, right? No listening to a voice that says, yeah, but you better check in to see if you're still actually depressed. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Like, no self-monitoring.
That's right. No ego monitoring you.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can monitor you. You know, you can make recordings of how great your life is and what you love right now and what's making you happy currently and all of those kinds of, you can monitor your life from center, but no ego monitoring you, because that'll always be bad news, always.
Yes, that I've experienced the truth of that. Yes.
Mhm. Yeah. All right. Well, keep dancing.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thanks, Sandy. I'm so struck, Sherry, about how this topic is really bringing up the realization of process versus content for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That we were talking about in group last night. play in the conditioned world is content oriented. It's something you do. It's a what. But more and more we're realizing that quality of play is a process place, that it's an attitude or it's a way of being, not what we do.
Yeah. It's not a weekend expensive road trip. It's not a vacation where I go to a beach somewhere. It's an attitude of mind and heart.
Yeah, and it's not even a quality of energy because, enjoyment would be taken by ego to mean you have to be cheerful and bubbly and happy. And oftentimes when we're playful, that tends to be that energy. But this broader perspective of play that we are looking at encapsulates so much more than the limited definition of that conditioned perspective, which I think is what we're seeing, that ego's definitions are limited. And that's what we've been limited by.
Yeah. And primarily, they're limited to suffering.
Yes.
Right? Yes. That's the, whatever is going on for ego, it's keep it as close to suffering as possible because we want to be able to drag that person easily into something wrong and not enough.
Yes. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Yikes. Hi, this is Celia in Seattle.
Well, hello there.
Hi. I'm so grateful for this subject. It's driving me crazy. Yeah.
In a happy, playful sort of way?
Well, it's kind of just breaking up things. And
which is a good thing.
It's a good thing. Yikes, I'm so excited to be talking about it. So I came in to the month with the same, actually it was with the same kind of content that I was in the relationship month, only in the relationship month I was doing it to other people, and in this month it's being done to me. And the whole idea of play, I just keep...
Can I say done to? What do you mean, done to? What were you doing to people?
Okay, so to people, I was always offering something fun.
Okay.
You could do this. This would be fun. This will make your life better. And now that we're working on play, I feel goaded to do things a certain way. So it's somebody doing it to me. So it's the other side, kind of.
And I'm projecting that when you were doing this to, and the phrasing is important, right? You were doing this to other people. You were meant to believe that this was being helpful and loving and kind. But what you realized is it probably didn't actually come from that. And didn't result in that. Now that it's being done to you, you can see the ego behind it, how you're being controlled by that.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So the idea of play, and what is play? It's been I didn't even want to go into it because there was this immediate feeling that I don't know how to play. I don't do it right, and oh my God, I don't even want to hear about this, you know, what people are supposed to look like when they're playing. I don't look like that. And like you were just talking about, it's a cheerful thing, it's a happy thing, it's a bubbly thing. And what I keep coming back to is, and sort of the theme this month for me is the fun of craft. So I'm an artist, so, doing the sanding on your boards, that's not fun, right? That's not play. But there's a deep, deep pleasure in the craft of something. And I
enjoyment.
Yeah.
Right? There's enjoyment in it.
Yeah. And it's so deep and so connected and so quiet and without any, it's a sense I don't even know quite how to talk to it. It's an agitation. There's no agitation in it. And my old idea of play was a kind of an agitation always present.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when there's that element of doing too, then we can see that, right? So it's not a spontaneous upsurging of energy that expresses itself through, right? It's defined, it's controlled. You have to do it a certain way. You're being monitored, right, to make sure that you are having the experience that you're supposed to be having. Gosh, I wonder why that's not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, huh?
But I mean, yeah. I've lived with these beliefs all my life, and one of the things that came up was I realized that ego conditioning has been going back to when I was a child and picking certain experiences and saying, that was an experience of play. Well, I'm 74 now.
Uh-huh.
I'm not 10.
Right.
I don't live that life anymore. I'm not
That's
in those
right.
circumstances.
That's
and here
right.
I
and
am
you don't,
still
I'm
somehow.
I'm projecting you don't want to be.
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, it was awful in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah.
It was painful. Yeah.
And, you know, we can see how that process does what it does to people. So all through the decades, that same conditioning, that same karma has been running, just comparing how you are now to these ideas about how you should be based on something that's old and dead and gone and past.
Yes, and it fitted only that little tiny, tiny bit of time and place. That was all I could, you know, come up with at the time. And it's so tiny and so limited.
That's right. And now, this moment, is all of the universe. It is everything. And this is where we want to live. And the only way we can do that is to get out of that conversation in the head. Because that conversation is exactly what you described. It's the past. It's dead. It has nothing to do with now. It's just a story.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Oh, wow.
Pleasure, deep pleasure, no agitation, enjoyment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
Sharing, open, free.
Loving, kind.
Kind, loving, not pushing others, not being open, not pushing but being open. I mean, that's huge for me. And
Saying yes. All right. We'll go happy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Celia. Bye-bye. Thanks, Celia. And Jerry, it looks like we have time for one other caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Loren in Connecticut.
Hello, Loren.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Oh, some things along the lines of the themes we've already been looking about today, especially this thing about, you know, reviewing the play after.
Mm-hmm.
And
the ego reviews.
Yes, exactly. So my focus for this month, well, it's interesting, right? You were also talking about this with some folks about this idea, you know, that play is when you're on vacation on the beach with the frozen drink in your hand or whatever your fantasy of, like, play is. And I've been in a time of the last, like, 6 weeks of my life where, you know, it's one of those times where all the circumstances feel right, like everything feels like it's going really well, and so it's been a good workshop. What I decided to focus on this month is the idea of feeling elevated as I have been, like, you know, seeing the goodness in life and its generosity and all these things that are here, and then all the processes that pull me away from being in that feeling of just elevation or gratitude. And so when we did the assignment last week with all the different sub-personalities, I mean, I just saw that so many of them are very serious, and they all are variations on solving problems. Like, well, I could, I mean, even if life is good, I mean, I have to worry about, you know,
could it be
better? Could it be better? Could I have acted better? Could it be better? Or is something bad going to happen if I don't, am I going to mess it up? You know, am I going to be rejected by another person if I'm not managing, you know, how I'm being, if I'm being too boring, if I'm being too much? And so I just see how I give myself these jobs all the time that feel really serious.
And Lorraine, how conditioning gives you those jobs all the time.
Yes.
Right? Because what you've been describing perfectly is a conversation in conditioned mind.
Yeah.
Right? And so what you first described was what it's like to be here, what it's like to be present, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that elevated, it feels elevated because we're not down there in the muck and mire of ego, right? So you're here, you're expansive, your life is big, it's good, you're grateful for it. So, right? That's present. And then what's gonna get her out of that? Because ego is desperate to get you out of that. Well, but how long is this gonna last? And what if somebody this? And what if that? And what if?
Right. And so I was just noticing today, because one of the things that's going on content wise right now is that essentially, this whole entire last year, I didn't date or have any sexual relationships, and just in the last month have met somebody for the first time in the year that I feel open to having a relationship with. And I've been using that as part of the focus this month and looking at play there and the elevation and the energy and how there's this way that I have been very present. And one of the trickiest times is when I've seen them, and it takes some effort to see them because they live a couple hours away. When they leave, then all those things that got suspended while they were here, then the review of, like, doing that same process, but instead of doing it in the moment, just trying to do it for the past or the future. So it's been really helpful to, I think I'm really seeing the process of all of the conversations that pull me away from the elevation.
Yes. Yes. And I would say it's not an accident that you've met someone, because that is a perfect way for ego to get you. Now, the bad news for ego is you're watching it, right?
Yeah.
But you know from previous life, not lives, but just previous life, that this was something that would throw you into a pit of ego assessment, right? With everything you think and say and do and how and this and they and And so using it now, being able to use it as a workshop.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I am. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ego is revealed. It's very good.
Yes, it is very good. It is very good. And I think today's assignment was the question of, you know, looking at the voices of self-hate and then, you know, what's the underlying implied message? I mean, I think it's a lot about what people were saying earlier about separation, you know, and this idea that of not being adequate to life, that I have to be very careful. I have to be solving problems all the time.
Well, Lorraine, you have to be looking to conditioned mind. You have to be looking to ego. That's what you have to do, because that's where the past and future are, right? And so those stories about the past and what you did wrong in the past are going to prepare you so that you can solve these problems that you don't have in the future.
Right.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So I wonder if the answer to the question for today, which is like, you know, what then, you know, I think I can't remember the exact wording of it, but the question is, you know, what if you were enough, or what then, you know, what?
Yeah.
And it,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's that I wouldn't have to do that, I think.
That's right.
And
here's the one I'd ask you to consider. You won't know you don't have to do that until you stop doing that.
Mm.
You see what I mean?
Say a little bit more, if you can.
Okay. When you drop that conversation in conditioned mind, you'll realize that you never did need it.
Right.
But as long as you're engaged with it, it perpetuates the illusion that it's doing something for you that you need.
Yes, I get that. I do. I am starting to be able to see the difference between going to that conversation and where it feels really serious and fearful and mm-hmm. my future is in the balance, or just being present and still wanting to look at the things that come up, including in this workshop of dating again, of just, oh, I want to look at that. A
from
curiosity
presence.
Rather than a, yeah,
from presence, right? Not from a story. From allowing life to inform you. Yeah.
That's
a real opportunity. Being here and trusting that the intelligence is going to give you all the information that you need.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
thank
that
you.
You're adequate. So if something happens, you'll use it as a workshop.
Yeah.
You will be fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hey, see you soon.
I know, I'm so excited. My first time being a visiting monk.
Oh, I'm very excited too. All right, well, take care of yourself.
Yes, thank you. Gosho.
Thanks, Loren. Bye-bye.
Bye, Sherry. Bye, Ashwini.
Thanks, Loren. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show, our assignment for today. The whole suffering process is set up to keep the karma in place. I have to meet certain standards that fix or change me, that make me better, the way I should be in order to be acceptable and lovable. Yet meeting those standards doesn't get me the approval or acceptance or love that I have assumed I will receive if I meet the standards. The whole orientation misses the point. What we're being conned into believing is that our inherent goodness is conditional. It assumes that authentic nature is dependent upon performance. So attention is taken away from our authentic nature and turned to an ego-maintaining, dualistic conversation that causes us to believe our acceptance is conditional. Your assignment, record what is true about you, the internalization of which would enable you not to fall for and be tortured by the self-hate conversation. Listen to and add to this recording as you get clearer about what is true about you.
Love it.
Love it. It's sort of the crux of the whole thing, isn't it?
It is. It's the secret to the whole deal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Oh,
and we'll talk
Friday.
On Monday.
Yeah. Okay. Go happy for a whole weekend. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Until then.
Take care, Sherry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.